Meet me at The Chazen. I'm your host, Jennifer Fields. The Emancipation Group is a sculpture steeped in our country's racist and problematic history. The Remancipation Project is a response to and unpacking of that history through the lens of contemporary artists and scholars. The work is daunting. So how do you approach a project that takes those involved to emotionally charged places? According to Eddie Gadjadar, one solution is careful planning.
My name is Eddie Gadjadar. I am the Chief Operating Officer for Mass Consortium. Remancipation is a study about monuments, the meaning of monuments, how they play a role in how we view ourselves and each other. And what it comes down to for me is dialogue. A lot of the conflict, the animosity that we feel amongst each other and between different groups is because of a lack of understanding. I grew up in New York City. I was born, raised in New York City. I was lucky enough and blessed enough to go to school K through 12 in Chelsea. Chelsea is unbelievably diverse. I went to school with each one of my schools, from preschool, elementary, middle school, and high school. They were integrated. So we had 25% white, black, Hispanic, and Asian. It was such a beautiful blend. I didn't really, really experience racism until I went to college. Mm. We all were amongst each other. We talked to each other. We were on the same teams with each other. You know, we were in the same clubs in school. Like, that's just what it was. I had a front row seat to what an inclusive society looks like. What remancipation does, it allows for the conversation to take place. If you look at the conversations that have taken place with the Chazen staff and Mass Consortium and all the various partners that have taken part in the symposiums, right, in April and then again in November of 2022, you can see how walls start to break down. And you're seeing it in real time, right? And remancipation could serve as a model, not the model, but a model to be utilized in higher education or in different formats and in different walks of life, different community-based organizations, right? It could be used as a template, if you will, how to begin the conversation.
It's interesting that you talk about your background being in a diverse and inclusive school, because when I talked to Mark and I started to ask him about what each person's sort of role is, he said that you were a main ingredient, a catalyst that helped get this spark from point A to point B. So talk to me about how you do that. Is it something that is it innate? Is it something that, having gone to school where you went to school, having had to navigate all these different areas of your life, do you think that that's kind of like, I was born, my mother always told me that I was nosy and a tattletale. And that's pretty much what I do for a living. I ask a bunch of questions and then I tell everybody about what I've been told. Is this just part of you and you're tapping into that part of you to do what you do?
So, you know, I appreciate Mark's kind words. So the way that this all started in terms of remancipation, I was brought on, let me see, I started working with Mark at the end of 2019. And I heard nothing about Chazen in 2019. It wasn't until May of 2020 that I heard that Mark saw an article in the New York Times, and it was about Emancipation Group coming down in Boston. And, you know, Mark called me up immediately and said, "Hey, have you seen this article?" And I said, "I have not." He said, "Well, the background is this. We were out in Wisconsin in September of 2019 for the closing of Sanford's exhibition at Chazen. At that time, I'm not sure if you know this story, this background.
But I know a little bit of it. Everybody is telling me it from their perspective, so I don't know this part of the story.
Okay, here we go. So at the dinner, Candy and Mark are talking, and Candy says, "Hey, we have an emancipation group upstairs." Mark and Sanford, like, we want to see it. Mark pulls out his iPad. He starts taking pictures of the emancipation group and so on. That's September of 2019. After the dinner conversations, Mark created a base camp project, right? And he added, you know, Amy and Maria Safiada Dale. Have you ever heard that name?
Yes. I know her well from I've been doing interviews with Chazen people for like 10 years, so I know her well. Yeah.
Okay. So Mark put me on to the article, and then he put me into the base camp project. I did all the background research. Okay, so where is this project? And this is May of 2020, right? And he said the by November of 2019, the trail went cold. Nothing, like no, it was just radio silence, right? November of 2019, no further communication. Now, fast forward to May of 2020, middle of COVID. No one's really doing anything. No one is doing anything about anything, okay? Everyone's just trying to live at this point, right? Like, we don't know what's going on, right? How to treat this, how to live. We're afraid to go out to the, you know, to the corner store. And I said, Mark, I'm going to schedule an appointment. I'm going to, you know, I'm dogged, right? I'm a bulldog when it comes to these things, right? And from May of 2020 to November of 2020, it took me all those months, 6-7 months, to finally get, because I was communicating with Lindsay and Amy. I was sending emails to them. And it wasn't, we weren't able to connect. Finally, in November, they said, yes, we'll meet. We'll meet December 15th, 2020. And I remember the date because that's the date my parents got married in 68, December 15th. Oh. I mean, they're divorced, but, you know.
Love starts somewhere.
Well, I'm here, right? That's why I'm here. Okay. So we presented an idea to create what we were at the time calling a counter monument. That was a term being used in 2020. We presented a budget, you know, and it was just to create basically a counter monument. In that very first meeting, Amy loved the idea. She said, "Hey, you know, it's mid-December. We're going on vacation. Let's circle back mid-January." So we do that. We then have meetings from mid-January every 2 weeks. We agreed, you know, in that first meeting that every 2 weeks we should stay in contact. Okay. So we have meetings every 2 weeks from mid-January all the way to March. Now, during this time, Mark and I are having conversations about how, you know, what is really the goal here? What is really the goal? Like, how do we, like, what are we doing here? We realized in speaking to Sanford that Sanford wanted not just, the initial proposal was for like 3 or 4 pieces to be scanned where he can glean inspiration, right? To create this counter monument. But then we realized that Sanford wanted more pieces scanned so that he had more to choose from when he was creating this counter monument. We also realized that, you know, this could be something bigger. And in March, about mid-March of 2021 now, right, we were in a Zoom meeting, our regular, you know, bi-weekly Zoom, right? And Mark wasn't in the meeting. It was myself, Guy, Lindsay, Amy. That was like the regular crew. And then Mark. But for some reason, I can't remember. Mark wasn't there at the moment. At the very last item was something I put on the agenda, which was talking about an expansion of the scanning component, right? An expansion of this re-emancipation idea. And Amy says at the very end, she goes, "Hey, Eddie, I see at the bottom here, you added something. Can you speak a little bit more about that?" And I mapped out basically not just an expansion of scanning, but also I talked about a microsite, right? And I'm saying I talked, but it's Mark and I who came up with this broader concept. It wasn't just me. And it wasn't just Mark. It was the two of us putting our heads together to say, well, in a perfect world, what would we really want to see out of this project? Right? And we talked about microsite. We talked about expansion of scanning. We ended up with somewhere around 20 to 22 pieces that we wanted scanned. And when we finally got there, we did a lot more than that. We actually doubled it up. I mean, we really, really cranked it out in July of 21. We talked about a documentary, right? So it was really expansive. Amy said, "That sounds intriguing. Let's talk offline." A few days later, her and I were in a Zoom, just the two of us. And I really went in. I fleshed it out completely. And she loved the concept. And from that point on, we started to really put together. She asked me for a full budget. I presented a full budget to her. Next thing you know, we have an entire scanning team. the first iteration of a budget. I have to give kudos and credit to Amy Gilman, because, Dr. Gilman took a chance. She took a chance. This is a very unique project. This is going out on a limb, especially for museums, This type of project, you don't really see it too often generally, much less in a museum setting. So I have to, tip my hat to Dr. Gilman. And by July, it was the beginning of the second week of July 21. We were there, myself, Mark, two members of the Nexus technology training program, Jordan Hines and Noah Hines. They did primarily, Noah did the space scanning. Jordan Hines did the object scanning. We brought in two young folks from Milwaukee, Jordan Morency and Kayla Morency, 12 and 15 respectively, right, to do some of the scanning, to learn how to do this scanning, that as part of that emerging workforce initiative, right, that we really do our best to pass the knowledge on. It's not just about mask and about us, right? It's about each one teach one, and we make sure we try to teach that next generation as much as we can within our model. So when we got there in July, we realized immediately on the first day that there was something magical here. Something happened. And as the week went on, we were there for 4 full days and half a day on that Friday. And it was magic. Absolutely magic. And from that point, it was full steam ahead. But that's how from September of 2019 all the way fast forward to July of 2021, that's how things transpired.
When you're working on a project, do you see an end goal, or does it start to take shape as you're taking those steps? When does it come into your head as the full-blown thing?
So it all depends on the project. It all depends on the project. I think that when we when we first started in May of 2020, when Mark first brought this project, this potential project to my attention, again, it was a very, very narrow, very, very narrow view of creating a counter monument. Now it's referred to, by the way, as a response piece, right? Not counter monument, right? That change was made by Sanford. That verbiage change was made by Sanford. So it wasn't until July of 2021 when we got to the Chazen where we realized, even though we had put this budget and this plan together, the synergy that we felt when we actually got to the Chazen in July of 2021 is when it crystallized, and everyone from Dr. Gilman to Mark Hines to myself, it was this aha moment, right? For this Remancipation project. Each project's a little different. Sometimes for me, I can see a vision and say, okay, I got it. I know what this is. I can't say that for Chazen, that I knew instantly. That would not be truthful. I along with, and I'll speak for Mark and Amy on this one here. Usually I don't like to speak for anyone, but it was that July 2021 in-person week that we did at the Chazen that crystallized everything for us, that we have something really special. And we will have to nurture this and you know, carry it all the way to, you know, to the goal.
What's your emotional connection to the work? To this particular, do you have an emotional connection to the object, to the Emancipation Group? Do you have an emotional connection to the work? What does that look like? Because it's so, the way you seem to approach it is very steps oriented. That doesn't necessarily always allow for this sort of like warm, fuzzy, or, you know, reaction to the object itself. What is your emotional connection to this work and this piece?
I think you read me correctly. Like, I haven't had a moment to really reflect. You know, it's been this methodical step-by-step approach. How do we get the job done? Right? Because this is such a just a large undertaking. There are a lot of steps, a lot of details, a lot of dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's. And I stay, I do my best to stay in that space and not get caught up in the emotion of it. I think that maybe in February of 23, when the exhibition opens, I'll be able to give myself that space. Maybe when we close, I'm not really sure exactly how things are going to flow, right? I just, to date, I haven't had that opportunity to really just take a step back and to feel and think about the piece itself, right? I do understand intellectually the significance of the project, right? The partnership with the University of Wisconsin, the Chazen Museum of Art, and the Andrew Mellon Foundation. I understand all these components of these pieces, right? And the artist Sanford Biggers and Mass Consortium, I get it. But when you're in the mix, right, and you're actually doing the work, I just don't, I don't attach myself emotionally, right? Because then I don't, I'm not as effective at doing my job. My job is to put the pieces together and to keep them together, right? So I detach myself to a great extent. And after the fact, then I take a deep breath and I just, you know, give it a little nod and say, okay, you know, that was good. And then you move on to the next, you know? So
I wonder, Eddie, what would be your response? Because I'm going to ask you this question now, and I hope to catch you at the opening and the closing. I'm going to ask, if you had to do your own response to this work, what would be your response to it right now?
right now, my response would be there's still a lot of work to do. I'm just thinking again, logistically, right? Like I'm still in that mode. I still don't have the bandwidth to allow the emotions to set in, right? As to what this means, culturally, artistically, right? I'm still in that mode of how do we get the job done, right? What steps? There are challenges that unbelievable challenges that we've faced to get to this point, right? And, I know that me being sick for all these months, right, in 2022 has put a great strain on some of the other team members, and they've had to pick up, my slack. So we're doing our best to get to the finish line. And when we are at that finish line, then I'll be able to respond. I guess, like I said a minute ago, I'll be able to respond in a different way in February and or in May or June of 23, when we have the closing. Until that point, it's all about getting the job done. I stay in that mode,
You've been listening to Meet Me at the Chasin. Our guest, Eddie Gadjadar, is the Chief Operating Officer for MASC Consortium. Meet Me at the Chasin is a production of the Chasin Museum of Art on the campus of UW-Madison in Madison, Wisconsin. For more information about the museum, its collections, and exhibitions, visit chasin.wisc.edu. I'm your host, Jennifer Fields. Thank you for listening.
Because that's the way.